This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour is presented by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities. Athlete, business, they'll set you up. Go to NILGameChangers.org to begin your journey today. Nick Faribault joins us on the show today to talk about the Steelers draft, among others. First of all, welcome to the show. Great to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Steve. It's great to be here after the draft.
Yeah, and so round one in the books, and the Steelers go to Washington. I thought they might go center, but they go tackle, and they could still go center, by the way, because I'm a big Zach Frazier guy. I feel like they got Peter Skoronski in a great spot several picks back than Skoronski would have been picked a couple years ago.
I think that's pretty much what the whole tackle class was. It was such a deep group that there was a guy that there of that 20, it wasn't going to be there any other year because there was seven legitimate top tackles. You saw a guy like Tyler Guyton go at 29. I mean, that's a guy that would have gone probably 10 picks earlier last year. Even, you know, a guy like Broderick Jones, who they got last year, 14th overall, a little bit on the raw side. I mean, Troy Faletanu is not raw. I mean, he's a plug-and-play guy. You can put him right in. You talk about, you know, the Skoronski comparison. I think it's a pretty apt one because you can play him up and down the line. I think he can play all five spots. He'll play a tackle for the Steelers, but it's an upgrade over Dan Moore. So you can do whatever you really want to do with Broderick Jones and Faletanu, whoever plays at right tackle or left tackle. And you're talking about an athletic, really good player, and the value was fantastic because I think, you know, you can argue he was better than, you know, maybe Mims, who went before him, and a few of those other guys that even went up the board. I think you can argue that Faletanu has a chance to be even better. So great value for the Steelers at 20th overall to get a guy at tackle of that caliber.
I think he's a plug-and-play, Faletanu, right out of the gate. I think he's a plug-and-play guy. And when you're talking about the offensive line in the NFL, it doesn't hurt when you draft a guy that can, in a pinch, can play all five positions, and he can.
I think that's the interesting thing about him because it's really no one else can. You know, Brandon Barton could, but he's not really going to stick out of tackle. Faletanu, you know, you're talking about a guy with 34.5-inch arms, elite athleticism. He can play all up and down the line. I think he can play center. I know he's never played there, but I think he has the frame for it, has the athleticism for it. So he could do anything you want. And I think the other thing is, you know, they have James Daniels on an expiring contract this year, so try him out at tackle first, which is, I think, the right move. But if maybe it doesn't work out, you can kick him inside next year. So I think there's a lot of really big benefits to the Steelers by getting a guy like Faletanu. They just needed better play at tackle, and they needed a better center, and they upgraded at least one of those spots. I think center will come soon, but, you know, Faletanu is a fantastic fit for their offense. He's athletic, can work in space, perfect fit for the Arthur Smith offense. He's nasty, he's a mauler. He's like the perfect Pittsburgh Steeler run blocker on top of that. He got a phenomenal player here at 20th overall. I don't think the board could have fallen much better for them with him being on the board.
Yeah, I think the quarterback run allowed this to happen for the Steelers. And I think that's a big part of it. Obviously, the guy I would look at on an everyday basis, which literally I did, was Olu Fashanu. Olu's the best pass blocker in this draft. And you'd have to really go a long way to convince me anything differently. Now, as a run blocker, we can talk about it. But as a pass blocker, he's the best. I thought this guy was the next best guy as a pass blocker because this guy has length. He's got really good balance.
He's got great balance, great athleticism. He uses his length really well. He's, you know, only about 6'3". He's not like a mammoth tackle, right? He's not a Marius Mims who went to the Bengals who is 6'8", 340.
That's just,
you know, he's like 3'17", which is a very different player. Doesn't mean he needs to shift inside, though. He doesn't get beat on the outside shoulder very often, really protects that well, uses his length as an absolute weapon. I mean, you see him in pass pro just burying guys into the dirt. Got a great snatch trap move where he can really use that against power rushers. So you're not going to, even though he might be a little smaller than some of these other guys, you know, you're not really going to beat him with power because it doesn't expose his chest. I also think it's interesting, you know, there's kind of benefits to him being a little smaller than, say, you know, Mims or a Fuaga or Ashenu, whoever it might be, because he's going to play with better natural pad level. That's why he gets movement in the run game. He is just a really good fit for them.
Yeah.
And I agree with you in pass pro. He is probably the second best. I think you could probably either him or Alt at second best. I think that's a debate. I think Fashion was pretty clearly the best. But I think he's just got great run blocking upside too. So I think he's a very nice complete tackle for them. Just plug and play wherever he goes.
Yeah, what is Alt, 6'8 or something like that? I mean, Alt's huge. I mean, Alt is huge. What is it? I've got it here. 6'9. Mercy.
Yeah. I mean, like look at the guys that went before him when you are talking about massive tackles. You know, Alt, Latham, who went 7th overall, is a massive tackle, 365 pounds. Fuaga, you know, probably is going to be the guy that might chip inside because he doesn't have as good as length or athleticism as Faletanu does. So, like, that's the thing. I think, you know, with Faletanu, there's really no one in the class that has the type of athleticism he does paired with the aggressiveness he does. And I think that's what made him unique in the class. So I think he's such a good fit for what the Steelers want to do, which is run. I think the wide zone scheme that they're going to run under, you know, Arthur Smith with the screens and getting out in space, I think it's going to be such a perfect fit for Troy Faletanu and what he wants to do. I think he couldn't have landed in a better spot. You know, there's other teams where they're going to run power run. They're going to need vertical displacement. And maybe that's not what Faletano's game is, but he's not going to be asked to do that here. So it's going to be a phenomenal fit for him. He might have fallen a little bit because he's a little smaller than everybody else.
Yeah.
I think there was a knee medical concern, too. They brushed that off. But, man, he's not right to their laps. It's a great fit for both sides.
Nick, now the next part's going to be interesting in the second round. Now, part of it is Penn State opened with West Virginia last year. So Jack Ham and I watched enough West Virginia tape going in. And Zach Frazier really stood out to us. In the game, we felt Zach Frazier then stood out to us. There's no doubt he's still on the board right now. If he's there, could he be a Steeler pick tonight?
I think he would be the Steelers pick. I don't know if there's a guy that would fall to 51 that would kind of take over Frazier. I mean, maybe a guy, if you get, you know, Cooper Jeanine there or something, that could be a scenario. I just think Frazier's a perfect Pittsburgh Steelers center. I mean, you talk about high floor plug and play starts. I like Graham Barton, who went in the first round. I like Jackson Powers Johnson as well. But you want to talk about a guy that you just watch plug and play and have no questions about if he's going to be good. And this guy's floor is the highest of them all. He is a mauler, a little bit undersized with some length concerns. So he can, you know, guys like Byron Murphy from Texas did eat him up a little bit with some power. He doesn't have the upside of, you know, the elite athletes like Barton or Paris Johnson, because I think he's a good athlete but not an elite athlete. But it doesn't really matter much because he makes up for it with great technique. You see the wrestling background. I think that's really what stands out to me.
Yes.
The wrestling background that he brought. You know, he's a state champion wrestler in West Virginia. This is a guy that you look to place great, great technique, pad level, gets drive through his hips. He is a special player from that perspective. Just gets consistent leverage, moves, doesn't really get blown back very often. He's such a consistent force. So he's there at 51. I think he's the pick. I think you look at that line then at that point, you got two plug-and-play starters in the first few rounds.
Exactly. And that's that. Now your draft now starts to take shape. And if you're Russell Wilson or even the possibility of Justin Fields, having that kind of protection to operate with, which Wilson didn't have much of with Denver, because Broderick Jones was selected last year. You feel like now the Steelers, as a total package, are coming into play. So, Nick, let's go one step further. Is there still a wide receiver available in this draft that can balance George Pickens?
You know, I think there is. I think there's a ton of different archetypes of receivers. I think that the Steelers are very lucky that there are so many different guys. You know, there are route runners, there are big guys, there are deep threats, there are yak threats. I think the one guy that really sticks out to me is someone that just, you know, balances it all out, can be a really solid route runner, and kind of win in different areas. It is probably A.D. Mitchell. And I know that there are, you know, concerns about, I think he's type 1 diabetic and different things like that. But you look at the tape, he's 6'3", and his movement skills are special. The ability to separate at that size for how he moves, it's rare. And, you know, the Steelers are type of team that when you find guys like that and they fall to you, you can take a chance on them. And he would be a star for them, probably. I mean, you talk about a guy that can play off George Pickens. I think he's a guy that can do it extremely well. I don't know if he's going to fall because he's so talented, and the Bills very well could select him right there at 33. And they're sitting there at the top of the board. He's a very top player. If he fell, that is the guy I think you could look at. I also think, you know, one other guy that I really makes a lot of sense for them, if they wanted just to go back to Washington again, would be Jalen Polk.
Yes.
I know that Roma Doomsday got all the buzz, right? But you talk about Polk, this guy's a blocker. He's physical, wins over the middle of the field, makes tough catches in traffic, savvy route runner over the middle of the field, goes 100% the whole time. This is a guy that can win on all three planes. Reminds me a lot of Robert Woods. I think it would be a great fit next to George Pickens, too. So those are the two guys I look at, and I say, man, they fit so well in the Steelers offense next to George Pickens.
Because they're going to get three picks tonight. They get two in the third round, one in the second round. And so they have a lot of options at this point, which is, I think, a plus for them. I have to ask you, what were your thoughts when the Falcons made the Michael Penix pick?
Yeah, that was stunning. I was shocked because you look at Kirk Cousins' contract and you never expected them to take a quarterback in the first round, at 8th overall, let alone Penix. You know, Penix with so many concerns about medical history, and the tape is solid, but, you know, he's got a decent arm. He can really throw it well deep, but, you know, this is not it's not Jordan Love, where, you know, the Packers with him, and he was 21 years old.
Right.
Penix is going to be 24. I mean, this is an old guy that probably would come in on a lot of teams to start right away, and he's going to be sitting for 3 years. I mean, Kirk Cousins is had to be blindsided by it. I was blindsided by it because you're not making a team that is built to win now better. You know, look at their pass rush situation right now. It is putrid. They don't have solid pass rush. I mean, you could have taken anyone there. Dallas Turner, Latu, if you really got Chop Robinson, who went third there, you could have traded back. I mean, there were so many things you could have done there. Penix is such a crazy pick. I get, you know, some teams look at that Jordan Love situation, look what the Packers have done, and are kind of getting on this succession quarterback plan, but was Penix really that guy? I mean, for them, I don't know. You know, if you're really going to go, you know, for a succession type of quarterback, a young guy with upside, you know, the pick there would have been McCarthy, who, even if you have questions about him, and I do have questions about him,
so do
I. Can't deny the upside, and he is young. He would be more of the Jordan Love type to sit two or three years and then see what you have.
Right. Yeah. Because, I did several Michael Penix games in my career, and I've done several J.J. McCarthy games in my career. And you're right about the 21 versus 24. That's a big part of this. I think McCarthy, to me, is in the Hall of Very Good. And that's not an insult. I didn't say he was mediocre, good, but I didn't say he was great. He's very good. I still can't remember a single game he won for his team this year or the last 2 years. Like, which game, like, here they come. Right? Nope. And, you know, J.J. was great the way at the end of the game. No, that we're still waiting for that conversation. But six quarterbacks did allow the draft to fall in a different way, and I think it benefited the teams in the back of the draft. Nick, what do you think about that?
It absolutely did. I mean, look at some of the guys that teams behind that group got. I mean, Brock Bowers, for example, falling to 13 right to the Raiders' left. I'll say this. When I was ever going through a scenario, I did never once think about Brock Bowers going to Vegas, but now you look at it and you know, Devontae Adams, Michael Mayer. It's a really nice group, actually, for Gardner Minshew and what he's going to have. So that's a team that benefited. Obviously, the Steelers did when Faletano fell to 20. I mean, that guy's not falling to 20th overall if those six quarterbacks don't come off the board, because Denver could have used a tackle. You know, there's a few other teams that could have gone tackle. So it pushed everyone down the board. Fuaga got pushed down the board. I mean, look at the pass rushers. I mean, Latu, Turner, and Burks going, 15, 17, and 19?
Right.
Those guys should have gone much earlier than most other drafts. Byron Murphy is a very good player, went 16th overall. Mm-hmm. I mean, all those teams really, from the Saints down, got extremely high-level players that are going to really help them. You even go beyond that. You know, when you look at the Eagles grabbing Quinyon Mitchell, the Lions trading up for Terrion Arnold. I mean, look at the value that these teams in the back half of the first round got because of these six quarterbacks, three receivers going off the board, too. I mean, really, it fell extremely well for the back half of the first round. And I even think the top, you know, part of the second round where you have some of the talents like DeJean and A.D. Mitchell and Troy Franklin. There's so many names out there that kind of fell out of round one. Johnny Newton. I can't believe Johnny Newton is still available.
I thought San Francisco, after Armstead left, I thought San Francisco was going to take Newton.
I don't get why he fell. I get the foot injury, but every time I watch Illinois, I mean, this is a guy that over games consistently did so. I think he's going to be a steal for whatever team. That guy's available on day two. So even the top half of the second round is going to be extremely high value for those teams on the kind of swing around, because there's now six quarterbacks off the board. And so other teams get quarterback Henry, like the Spencer Rattler come off the board very early tonight? Maybe. it's going to be a question. I mean, it's possible now that, you know, Rattler is pushed up the board and different guys like that, and no running back has come off the board. You know, that's something else, too. So where do they go? You know, it seems like the Steelers at 51, for example, are probably going to be sitting there at 51, and someone's going to be there that they're going to be like, wow, I don't think we accounted for that.
Spencer Rattler is interesting. This is what I liken him to. You watch, and he has what I refer to as the look. Look at that. Look how he sets. Look how he moves. And then you realize at the end of the game, like, nothing really happened. it's like the waiter that's running around the restaurant, like, boy, he looks busy and nobody got any food.
And Bradley's interesting, right? Because just the career arc he had from, you know, five-star to, you know, South Carolina. I will say for him this year, I thought he did have his best year of college ball. I think, to his credit, he did the best he could with what was given to him. That South Carolina offensive line was, I mean, I think it contends for the worst in power.
Brutal.
It was
brutal.
Really putrid. He had to run around and try to create anything. So I think there's some positive projection maybe you can make about Rattler. And he's got the arm talent. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But I was thinking, you know, when I was like, oh, I'll take a chance on Rattler, it would be, all right, third round. Sure. You know, I'm thinking now you look at the team like maybe the Giants, you know, maybe the Raiders. I mean, these teams that might have to take a chance on him now in the top 50.
Yeah. This was an absolute pleasure, Nick. Thanks so much for giving us your time today. I enjoyed it. The audience enjoyed it. It was really terrific.
Thanks for having me on, Steve. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Nick Faribault joining us. Great to have on the show, breaking down primarily the Steelers draft, but the draft overall. As you can tell, Nick can go anywhere because he's so good. And, hey, congratulations to Jared Verse from Central Columbia. to the Los Angeles Rams. How about that? One of our players in our own backyard is now a first-round pick of the Los Angeles Rams. Right? And it finally gets rid of the stigma that Central Columbia is only a bowling school. Todd?
No.
That's a suit joke, everybody. It's a suit joke. He's a Central Columbia grad. He bowled the 297. It's a suit joke. Maybe it's not good to have to explain the jokes. All right. Well, isn't that great, though, Todd?
Oh, it's fantastic.
I mean, I think he is one of the truly intriguing, terrific stories in this draft. Because, again, when he was at Central Columbia, he was good. But he wasn't like, hey, there's Ohio State, there's Penn State, there's Michigan, there's Alabama, let's all recruit. He went to Albany. Now, there's Penn State connections because Greg Gattuso coached him. You know, and Greg is, you know, between Duquesne and Albany, has done a heck of a job. He's a really good coach, Greg is. And then he ends up in Florida. And now he's with the Rams. You want to talk about a guy that never quit on himself and made himself better? That's Jared Verse. Others may have doubted him. He didn't. He kept pushing. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. More in a moment. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. Start your journey today at NILGameChangers.org on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could chop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.